When your world seems to be falling apart, it's hard to take a step back and just breathe. But that's what local DJ Christina Whitmer decided to do when she was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. She began Zen training and believes it has helped her to feel calmer and less attached to her illness. Now she wants to share what she has learned. Michael Hodge was Krista's teacher throughout her training, and Noe Tanigawa spoke with both of them and asked what it meant to have the focus of one's world changed.
2 years ago, I got diagnosed with breast cancer at stage 4 when I was 39. So everything that I was doing, I had to kind of just come to a screeching halt. And, you know, now I'm only worried about staying alive. And so the one thing that happened was that after 12 weeks, I was showing no signs of disease in my scans. And 6 months later, it was the same result. So it wasn't a mistake. And, you know, that's huge. And for me, through that, I just discovered so many things, you know, that I needed to know. That's why I still look at it like a blessing. You know, that was right around the time that I met Michael, and he kind of introduced me to this place, this dojo. And, you know, sitting without being able to do anything except sit there and breathe, and you have to breathe in a very specific way, it's, you know, I haven't even been doing it very long, maybe 4 months, 3 months. I can already feel things that I never really felt before. And mainly it's just like I don't feel like I have to be in control of everything because I was kind of a control freak.
But Zen pursuits have not traditionally been taken lightly.
Yeah, it's a funny equation. How it works is that, you know, that impression is correct, that there's a lot of discipline and a lot of form, and it can feel like there's a lot of rules and a lot of rigid kind of things to follow. But what's funny about the equation is all of that stuff added together ends up with sort of total relaxation and freedom and openness. And it's kind of, it's not maybe a rational progression how rigid form and rules lead to that. But it has something to do with, if you can get rid of yourself, if you can get rid of how do I want to do things and what's my approach, is you start to be able to use your senses more completely and experience the world more completely. You then end up not stuck on all those forms. So they're there. There's a certain power that comes with that discipline.
I was trying by myself first, and I was getting nowhere. I was like sitting in my living room with the stopwatch, and I would sit there and I would just try to stay real still and quiet my mind. And I'd look at the clock after thinking it's an hour, and it was like 4 minutes. So, so he had me come up here. And once I started coming up here, I don't know, you don't want to move. You sit there, and whether or not my form is right or my breath or my posture, I have to come. And now, I mean, I come every single day, in the morning, and I can't stop. I mean, there's some days I need to take off. My body's just really sore from this hormone therapy. It makes, you know, the bones are really, sometimes I can't get out of bed. But for the most part, you know, I've been here since June.
And so, you know, again, the challenge is to give people a taste of that, or to let folks see that that's possible. That it's possible to, you know, go through something really tough or go through something really that normally would be really gut-wrenching and do it in a way where you could feel like that's a blessing, or that that has allowed you to open up or be more free or be more empathetic.
You know, the rigorous reputation of Zen training, does that happen here?
We had a group sitting in Shanghai for a while, and so we get people from all over the world who had been trained in different traditions, and I've never had somebody say that what they did somewhere else was more intense than what we do, or more brutal, or, you know, this has always been the standard in terms of how deep can you train.
Whacked over the head with bamboo sticks and such.
Well, I mean, yeah, we do kendo up here, but not so much intensity from just like physical violence, but just how sincere the effort is. That we'll sit a long time, or we don't indulge in, you know, something feels a little uncomfortable, so we stop. You know, we just kind of go through it. And at a very basic level, that's just, it just builds strength. It builds a certain kind of mental, physical, and spiritual strength in people. But on a deeper level, what it does is it provides a venue to go touch those deep places of the human psyche, physical experience that can be uncomfortable or can be scary. And you kind of need a laboratory to do it. You kind of need a place that provides a controlled environment. You don't want to go do that, you know, in the middle of another situation where people aren't ready to handle that kind of stuff coming out. And so Chosenji, I think, is really unique in that sense, is that we take all kinds of people and we see all kinds of reactions to that up here, and that doesn't scare us off to have people going deep.
That's all going on while people are actually appear to just be sitting there, you're saying?
At varying levels. So we have plenty of introductory things that might not sound as intense as what I just described. But when we do like the intensive twice a year, we'll do a week-long session or intensive training. You see the whole spectrum of human emotion and endeavor. And it's really beautiful. I don't think we have many places in the world that where that's happening actively at that level.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
But I think to come out here in the back of Kalihi Valley and really try to understand this Zen approach is good. I mean, especially when I was really sick, and it was well, how are you looking at this illness? You know, are you fully attached to it? Is it just like, is that who you are, or can you figure out another way? And I just hope that they can all find that way that I have, and we can all just take it on, you know. Don't run from it.
In a funny way, these are all folks who have an advantage, because they're confronting all the heavy stuff of who am I, why am I here, where am I going, and it's happening fast. And rather than running away from it, or rather than saying, hey, shoot, that's not what I planned. That's not how my life was supposed to go. You know, I had all this other stuff lined up, and what we're planning on is that people will get a chance to sit down and do some meditation. It's not going to be easy. It's not fun stuff, you know, but you'll start to see, you know, people can see their breath as a tool to, rather than like, oh, my knee is hurting. It's like, okay, my knee's hurting, but there's, the birds are chirping out there too. And we tend to just focus on some internal discomfort and block out everything else. And it actually can flip around where you end up experiencing the birds so much more fully. Whether you're going through treatment yourself, or you're a caregiver, or somebody you love is going through it, is that it feels like you got a raw deal. It feels like you drew the short straw. There's a totally other way to look at it. It's like you actually got the golden ticket, which is that now you got an opportunity way faster to experience what it really means to be human.
Christina Whitmire is a cancer survivor who used Zen training to endure her struggle with that disease. Her seminar, A Zen Approach, will be put on by the Aloha Cancer Project on October 28th at Daihonzan Chosen-Zi in Honolulu, where Michael Hodge is a priest.